Welcome to Pennies for Thoughts, where everyone has 2 cents. Thanks for joining us for our show today. Head over to the website, www.antoinemalone.com. That's AntoineMalone.com. And check out some of our latest posts and highlights. All right, I guess we're ready for the show. Welcome to Pennies for Thoughts, where everyone has 2 cents. My name is Antoine, and today I want to introduce you to a feature we have on our site, www.antoinemalone.com. That's AntoineMalone.com. If you head over there, you'll see a lot of information about the Love Wins experience. This feature, the Love Wins experience, is basically our response to Rob Bell's new book, Love Wins. And what we're doing is we're going chapter by chapter and inviting you to read with us and to comment with us and converse with us about the things in each chapter. And it's been fun. We've done 3 chapters so far, and we've got some pretty good conversation. We can always have more. And so you guys are invited to jump in. Tell me what you think about the things that Rob Bell is saying in his new book, Love Wins. This podcast is going to cover the first 3 chapters that we've done on the site, sort of review what we've written there. So maybe a little bit longer than the other podcasts. We will sort of try to get the highlights and the things that were big for me. If there's something that's not covered in this podcast or even in the post, you know, feel free to jump in, add your comments, and you know, ask, well, what about this? What about that? And we'll try to respond to that. But before I do that, I wanted to thank all of the new Twitter people that's following. Big whoop to you guys. Been big spike since I've done this, and I think it's great that I have a bunch of new people around to kind of check things out and to read and listen and comment. You guys have been great. Same thing with the Facebook page members. We're only at 37 people, so I'd like to get that number up. Maybe we can get it to 50 or 75. That'd be kind of cool if we can do that in the next couple weeks. And then all the people who would subscribe to the email, thanks a lot. Really appreciate you guys sort of jumping along and reading with us and doing this with us. It's been great. All right. So for the content, starting with chapter one is called What About the Flat Tire? Rob Bell asks a ton of questions, which is not unlike most chapter ones, but I mean, a ton of questions. And we can assume that he's going to try to touch these questions as he goes out through the book. So most of those I won't talk about directly because we're going to get into those as we read. I will talk about some of the other things I saw, some of the basic premises I saw in chapter one. Mainly this idea of multiple Jesuses. He uses this idea that some people interact with Christians in a negative way and therefore their view of Jesus is skewed. And I disagree with that completely. I think most people completely separate, probably too much so, Jesus from the church. And most people don't have a problem with who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And what we do as Christians don't often affect the view that people have of him. What it does affect is their view of church, their view of the Christian community. And that part of it, he's correct in that we need to be cautious about how we reflect Jesus through the church. But I disagree with the idea that people refuse to respond to Jesus himself based on the actions of his followers. So that's the first kind of sort of a minor thing, but it's kind of a nagging thing for me. I didn't even really think it was worth conversating or reading. So I really wish he'd have left that out. The other thing is this idea of works versus grace. And you hear some of the language that Rob Bell uses is punish. And punish is just like reward, only obviously it's the opposite. Punish is someone getting what they deserve. And when he says about God not punishing us, I think it tells us a little bit about the way we view God and the afterlife. Because for me, I don't believe the afterlife has anything to do with what we've done here on earth. And therefore, it isn't a reward or punishment as much as it is, do you want to love me or do you not want to be a part of a loving relationship with me? But we'll get more into that, you know, as the book progresses. I did want to talk a little bit, though, about this realization of grace. And I talked about this before. I talked about it a little bit in the podcast from the interview. But grace is God's expression of love toward us. And we have this idea that God is a God of love, and therefore he sort of encompasses, makes up for everybody's love. God's love is a pursuit that is so strong and consistent that it's hard for us to ignore or deny. Jesus is the picture of that love. Jesus is the one that says, I love you this much that I'm going to allow this to happen in order for you to have an opportunity to be in relationship with me. So grace is a one, if you were to diagram it, is one arrow showing down from God to us. But that's not the complete picture. As amazing and as awesome as that part of the picture is, that is not the complete picture. The second part of that picture is the realization that we have that grace and we have that freedom and the awareness that without God, we don't even know who we are. We don't even know why we exist. And it's in God that we fulfill our purpose. And that purpose is to love each other on a horizontal sense and to love God vertically. So we've got to put an arrow going up to him. It's got to be this two-way street of love. And that love has to be chosen. And it is in this life, the Bible teaches, that we have an opportunity to work through that love. So the realization of grace is what births in us the idea of confession and awareness. Again, these are all not things that save you, but these are the things that usher you into a relationship with God. These are the things that says, God, I want us to have a better relationship. And then you sort of build on that continually. And that is what heaven ultimately is the culmination of a relationship between us and God. So it isn't so much reward as it is the realization of the appetizer of a relationship that we have here on earth. Conversely, hell would be the opposite. Hell would be that I reject a relationship with God, and therefore I choose to be away and I choose to do something else. And at some point, God goes ahead and lets you have that. So those are the basic concepts, and we'll talk more about those a little bit later. But you know, there's this, I give you this one last example of a guy, you know, if I'm in jail and someone comes and pays my bail, technically I'm free. You know, their arrow down to me. I've done it. They've paid the cost. I'm free. But if someone comes to me and says, hey, your bail is paid, you can get out of jail. And I say, and I don't believe them. Like, man, I don't believe you. There's no way that bail was paid. I'm going to stay in this jail because this is a trick. There's no way. Okay, well, I haven't realized my freedom. I am free, but I haven't realized it. And because of my lack of realizing it, I stay incarcerated until I come to that realization or until someone decides, you know what, he's never going to do that. And if he just wants to stay in jail, he can stay. So check out chapter one and go on to the site. Tell me some of your thoughts about that. Chapter two is called Here is the New There. And it's basically Rob Bell is projecting that heaven will basically be on earth. I have two things to say about that. First thing is, I don't believe that's biblical at all. You know, he's using the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in some verses like that where Jesus says the kingdom of God is upon you. And he's saying that that means that heaven is going to basically be here. And that then we can work toward turning this earth into heaven by falling in line with what God would have us to do. I don't believe that's biblical. I do, however, believe that that's the way God would like it. God would certainly like for us to follow his will. And in essence, that would create in heaven. But that's just like saying that all of us would be perfect. God desires all of us to be perfect. He desires all of us to do his will. But we don't do that. We all know that we are all imperfect. And because of that imperfection and the nature of the flesh that is still here, that nature has to die, has to be obliterated. And therefore, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. But the second thing I have is, I don't know that it really matters anyway. Okay, so what? So what if heaven is here? Okay, sure. I don't know why that, I don't really see the big whoop about where heaven is. Because I go back to what I said in chapter one, heaven is really just about the relational aspect, me being with God. The best example I can come up for this is if I'm a newlywed and then I'm in the army and I get called away to a war that's cross seas or something like that. And I'm there for 3 years. Okay. So we have this distance that separated me from my wife. and we can send letters, and we can Skype, and we can Twitter, and Facebook, and sort of have this relationship that ties us together, and my life will be different. I'll live differently because I'm married to this woman who's across seas who I never really get a chance to see fully. And that's one form of the relationship. But isn't it something better when you get the papers that you're going home? And when you go home, not only can you just do letters and talk and communicate, but you get to have and be with and do life with your spouse. This is what heaven is. Heaven is a coming home. It's a bringing together of who God is and who He made us to be. And we get to enjoy each other together. Right now, we live distance. And even though we have the Spirit of God as an earnest to us, we still are not experiencing the full Godhead in its entirety the way we will in heaven. So all of the streets of gold, if such a thing is there, and all the painlessness and everything else that's associated with heaven really are the perks. It's kind of like marrying a rich man. It happens that he's rich. You love the man, and it happens that he's rich. If he loses all his money, it's still about being with the man or the woman. You see what I'm saying? So it's relational. It's all about relational base. And if we look at heaven and hell as relational destinations, it might change the way we look at God. And he can still be a God of love, and there can still be hell. And then we have Genesis 1 and 1 that talks about the difference between heaven and hell. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, two separate places. You know, we have various verses in the Bible that talk about heaven being up. And then we have the earth groaning to be redeemed and be redemptive in Romans 8, 19-23. And then in Revelations 21, which he talks about in chapter 4, we have the new heaven and the new earth. So it seems that God is going to make this thing the way he meant to make it in the beginning. And in the beginning, there was a heaven and there was an earth, and they were two separate places. Chapter 3. It's the hell chapter. And this is one of the chapters that many people have responded to. I'm going to pick a few things out of here to sort of comment on for this podcast. But again, you guys should go to the website, and I'm sure there's going to be some stuff I'm not saying in all these chapters. Go ahead and comment and post. Tell me what you think, and, you know, we can converse about it. Looking forward to it. So in this hell chapter, he begins with the fact that Jesus is often talking about hell. And the word that translates from hell is Gehenna. And Gehenna was this valley. It's basically a trash dump. It's a valley where they had a consuming fire, and they threw all the trash in there and it consumed it. And there were animals down there fighting for the leftovers of things. There was a gnashing of teeth, as it were. And so this idea of Gehenna was familiar to the local audience that Jesus was speaking to. And so Rob Bell helps us know that that's what Gehenna is. Now, I don't know what we're supposed to do with that from Rob Bell's standpoint. I don't know what point he's actually trying to make with that. I don't know if he's trying to say that Jesus is not calling hell the hell that we think of eternally. But then the question would be, well, what is Jesus calling it? Are you saying that Jesus is threatening that these people will be thrown into this trash pit and be consumed by its fire? Or, you know, I don't know. He didn't clear. He sort of tried to get us away from what we understand Jesus to mean, but he didn't tell us what he does want us to think Jesus meant. Besides that, there are scriptures in the Bible, specifically Luke 12, that says, "Fear not he who can destroy the body, but who can destroy the body and soul in hell." And if we were to unpack that the way Rob is suggestion that we would, then he's saying that this valley of Hinnom, this Gehenna, is a fire that will destroy our souls. I don't know of any trash pit that really has anything to do with your soul that's here on earth. So obviously, like many things Jesus has done, he takes something familiar with them and he expands it out to be something more spiritual. The same idea as when he says it is easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle. And that meant something specifically to that local congregation there. So Gehenna is confusing. He sort of gets us away from that, but he never tells us what he wants us to think about that. And that's just kind of weird. The next thing is this idea of hell being on earth. Hell on earth is not the culmination of sin. We do not have the liberty of calling the inconvenience and the immorality on earth hell, no more than we have the convenience of calling the Spirit of God's movement on earth heaven. We have the realization of a spiritual warfare here on earth where those who are of God are contending against those who are being controlled by the prince of this world, as the Bible says. And they're contending back and forth, you see. So this is not hell. And we can't use the devastation and the sin and the basically the overall feel badness of what happens in this earth as hell. It's almost as if he's taking the slang term of hell as in, you know, man, that workout was hell, you know, because it was difficult, it was hard. It's almost as if he's taking the slang version and sort of tried to fit it into theology, and that's really not the way that works. At least I didn't buy it when I read it. And perhaps you did, and if you did, then you can tell me about it, but I don't see that at all. Hell is hell, a place designated and a location designated for a specific thing, as the Bible seems to speak about. So there is a difference between hell and earth and a sick earth, or an earth that is infected by the virus of sin. A sick earth and hell, two equally deplorable things, but not the exact same thing. And then this last idea about hell as a tool, God might use hell to help bring them to the idea that they want to be with him in heaven. And this flies in the face of undercurrent theological doctrines, one of which is faith, and the second of which is the idea that the love that is birthed in us upon the salvation experience is a selfless love. If we were to use hell as a tool, that becomes a selfish love. That becomes a love that says, I don't want to be in hell, so I'll be anywhere else but hell. Oh, the alternative is heaven? Okay, let me go there. And this is not the way that God, this is the opposite of what God is asking us to do. Again, our purpose is for volitional relationship with him, and not because of anything that we gain necessarily individually in the areas of survival, but because we're willing to give up ourselves for him, to sacrifice ourselves for him. This post-mortem sort of evangelism doesn't ring true, so the ramifications are eternal life or eternal death. And even here, we're still talking about a reward, you know, that fits for reward punishment mentality versus a love relational mentality. And then the other thing that I think it fits, it fails under is, or at least it flies against, is this idea of faith and how God has built a program from the beginning on about faith, from Abraham forward, about faith. And hell as a tool to bring people to Christ is, hell doesn't take people to Christ. It just takes people away from hell. They'll go anywhere. They'll go back to earth instead of hell, not heaven. So I don't agree at all with this idea that, well, God might, you know, will use hell, let people go to hell for a little bit, and then they'll realize they won't be there. I don't know. I don't think that's the way it is. Through Jesus Christ and acceptance of his son is what it is. And it's not the actions of those, but it's once the realization, the awareness of that comes, then something inside you switches and says, okay, the spiritual man is then reborn, and that drives you toward a love to God. And that is what takes you to heaven, your drive to heaven, to love God. So there we are, chapters 1-3. There's a lot more that could be said, and I know I was speaking a little fast, but we're just trying to get in and out before we, you know, talk too much. On the next podcast for this particular topic, we will be talking about chapters 4-6. So stay tuned for that. Again, go to the website, www.antwanmalone.com, A-N-T-W-U-A-N-Malone.com. In the menu, you'll see Love Wins Experience. You can click that menu item. It'll take you to a kind of a table of contents page for all of the posts that we have. Or you'll see a little drop down where you can see chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. And you can click on those. And then there's a place for you to comment. And again, comment away. Also, for those who haven't got on the email subscriptions, I encourage you to do so and share this out to people that who are reading this and who have questions and who want to ask. Really want to sort of build this community so that we have an open conversation about some of the ideas here. I'm really interested in the perspectives of different people, Christian and non-Christian, when it comes to what Rob Bell is saying. Also, real quick, the last thing is that there's a few other podcasts, some relationship kind of things on podcasts. In fact, we're going to be doing a relationship thing very soon called What Men and What Women Want, which will be kind of fun, and some other things. So you guys can go check those out and tell me what you think about those, and I will talk to you soon. All right, take it easy. Bye.